I'm Carlton, alcoholic, slowly recovering. No, I'd rather say slowly waking up. I want to thank Emily and Robert for coming up here with me, and Merle for asking me. It's always kind of interesting when I give a talk. I don't do it very often. But I learn so much about myself when I do it, things that I've kind of forgotten. But it all started when I was 16, 4 days over 16. My sister got married, and I had to give her away because my father couldn't make it because of his drinking. So after I gave her away, my uncle gave me a shot of whiskey. I took it, and man, did it feel good. 5 minutes, I wanted another one. Another 5 minutes, I wanted another one. He wouldn't give me the third one. So I got one of my buddies to go get a bottle, and we went out, and I started drinking. I got sick. I got in a fight. I threw up. I had a hangover. And, you know, the next morning, I said, boy, I'm not going to do that anymore. But by the end of the week, I was ready to do it again. And I did it again and again and again. I kind of look at myself as being kind of a periodic because I'd only drink on weekends. And I did this for years. I got in the Merchant Marines. And, you know, you'd be out at sea. I wouldn't drink out at sea. But we'd come into port while I'd get drunk. I did that for quite a few years, and there were certain episodes that I had when I was drinking, like one, and it just popped into my mind. I'd come in from off the ship and went ashore, and I got my car tuned up, and I remember I spent about $150 on it, and I was bringing it back up, and guys were following me to take me back over to my ship. And I looked down at the speedometer, and I was only going 65, and my record up this grade to my house was 68. And I was pissed off because I couldn't go as fast before I had the tune-up. Well, I wasn't watching where I was going, and I went off the road and rolled it over. I don't know how many times I rolled it over, but the doors flew open. The guys behind me thought sure I was dead. But luckily, I had a can of beer between my legs. And I rolled out of the car upside down, and I still had the beer, can of beer in my hand. I don't know if I spilled any or not. I didn't get any on me, but there was still some in the can. The police came. This was back quite a few years ago. And they said, oh, it's you, Pedersen. Help me roll my car back over. Does it start? It started up. And he said, well, go home. But things like that, I never really got a DUI. I used to say I never got put in jail, but I have to kind of rescind on that because I was put in jail, but not for drinking. It was for disturbing the peace. But I was drunk. But I don't know, I was very lucky, really, that I didn't kill myself or someone else. But I had some pretty bad episodes. One, I remember, every time I go through King City, why it upsets me. Came in from Panama, San Francisco, and we went out and got drunk. And I remember started drinking, but the next thing I knew, I woke up in King City on a Greyhound throwing up in the back. He kicked me off the bus. I had glass in my hair with a big bump on my head, and I had trouble walking. I had a broken ankle. To this day, I don't know what happened. And one of my last drunks was when I decided to quit drinking. It was New Year's. I like to drink at parties. I mean, except for my last year of drinking, I'd drink just at parties or weekends, but I made sure there was always a party. But I was, I wouldn't drink, I was working. And I was had a pretty good job. But I actually quit my job because I thought that was why I couldn't stop drinking. But I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, really. Let me go back a minute. After I got out of the Army, I decided to go back to school, and I knew I didn't drink like other people. I couldn't just have one drink. Actually, I tried to have one drink, and I couldn't. So I would only drink when I knew that I could have more than one drink. I got pretty good at that. But I decided to go back to school, so I made kind of a pact with myself that if I got go to nights at school, and I even got some leave of absence and went full time, if I got all my homework done, I could drink on the weekends. So I used to stay up until 4 o'clock in the morning, making sure that I'd get my homework done so I could drink Friday night. Sometimes I'd have to do homework on Friday night, and that pissed me off. So I'd try harder. But that worked really pretty good. I did that for about 13 years. I finally got my degree, my BS. And then, oh, that's Bachelor of Science. So I decided that I would stop drinking. And I tried for about a year and a half, and I couldn't go more than 10 days. And so I figured, well, it was my job that was why I couldn't drink, so I quit my job, and then I started drinking every day. Get up in the morning, drink. I preferred vodka, but after I quit my job, it was I couldn't afford that, so I got I had a gallon jug. And there was a wine brewery, and I used to be able to go down. I'm not sure. I think it was $1.50. I could get a gallon of wine, and I'd put it down in the cupboard, and I'd have at the end there. I was drinking a gallon of wine a day, and I was going to tell you when my sobriety date was. Now I guess I can do that. When I first came in, my first 90 days, we used to go out and have a meeting after the speaker meeting. And this one time, it was, my birthday was last Saturday, so it was after the holiday that I said I was going to quit drinking, and I lasted, I think, 10 days, and then I started drinking again. And so I went into the meeting, and I told the guy, I says, look, how are you not going to have a big party on New Year's when it turns 2000? I mean, that seemed to me was very special. The year 2000, you'd have to have a big party. And the guy looked at me, and he says, do you think you can stop drinking one day at a time? And I kind of thought, geez, I thought about that. Well, yeah, I can do it one day at a time. Sure. This was the year 1970. See, I was planning a big party. My sobriety is 1970. I just celebrated 38 years last Saturday. Thank you. You know, and it didn't seem like very long until this year when I started thinking about 38 years. Most of you people aren't 38. Jeez. But that's a long time. And it's really been, I've been happy, joyous, and free, I can say, basically for those 38 years. But how did I do it? Well, there again, that one day at a time meant so much to me, I could understand that. I didn't have to worry about having a party 30 years out there, or even the next weekend, I just think about one day at a time. And that meant a lot to me. And actually, it got me through, I think, a lot of tight squeezes. Sometimes I really don't know. I came in these rooms. My last drunk, I went up. I got in a fight with my wife, so I got in the car and took off for Eureka, where my dad was. My dad lived up there. He was having problems drinking. He never did sober up, but I went up there drunker than hell, driving a little Volkswagen Bug, and I woke up, I was on the wrong side of 99 going down the freeway with people honking at me and headlights going the opposite way. How I got over there, I don't know. I mean, I blacked out, woke up, got back over to where I belong, pulled off, slept, had my bottle of vodka up in the hood, got up to Garberville, got stopped by the police, told him I stopped and had a drink at lunch. It was about noon. He says, okay, why don't you pull off and get some sleep? He let me go. So I pulled off, had a couple of shots, and continued on. Got up to Eureka, called up my dad from a bar. He came down, got me out of it. That's the first time he's ever gotten me out of a bar. I'd gotten him out of one quite a few times. But anyway, he figured I had a problem drinking. So he told me to go to AA because his brother-in-law was on the program. Actually, his brother-in-law knew Bill Wilson back in New York. He used to go back there and got to know him. He had quite a story. He had about 12 years of sobriety at that time. So my dad was going to take me to a meeting, and he was born and raised in Eureka, but he couldn't find this address. Looking back on it, he didn't want to go to a meeting. But he told me when I go home to go to the meeting. So I went home, and I was living in an apartment. And one of the ladies in there was actually her husband, sold me the apartment. He died. He was one of my drinking buddies. We used to go, every New Year's, we'd go swimming in the ocean. We did it for about 15 years, drunker than hell, and we'd go swimming in the ocean. Kind of miss that, though. It was kind of fun doing that. But she was a widow, and she was drinking real bad, and she moved into our apartments because she was waiting for another house to be built. And I got home, and I told my wife I was going to AA, and I guess Bonnie was over there talking to my wife, and she had just been to an AA meeting the week before, her first AA meeting. So when I said I wanted to go to an AA meeting, we got hooked up together. And she says, I'll take you. I says, okay, let's go. So we went to my first AA meeting. And when I walked in, I like to go to bars and things where people were laughing and having a good time. And the people in this big, it was a big speaker meeting, and they were laughing, standing in groups, and they looked happy, joyous, and free. And that's what I wanted. That's why I drank, basically, was to, because I felt I could do things that I couldn't do when I was sober. So I says, okay, this is good. And so we went to this meeting, and I really enjoyed the people talking to them, and I was told that all I had to do was to do the 12 steps and the desire to drink would leave me. Well, that sounded pretty easy for me, because I tried for about a year on my own, and I even quit my job because I figured that was it, my problem, and it wasn't. And so I started on these steps to do them best of my ability. Well, looking back on it, this lady that took me, she had the same amount. After the first meeting, I had my jug of wine in the front. We stopped and had a couple of swigs of that, and then we went to a bar, and we decided to try it for 30 days. Oh, for 60 days. No, 90 days. We'll try it for 90 days. Okay, that was an agreement. I went home, and I had a bunch of bottles hid out and things like that around the house. And so I started drinking them, you know, finishing them off. My wife says, "Why don't you throw it down the drain?" You know, I looked at her. What in the heck is wrong with you? Pour whiskey down the drain? No way. I'm going to drink it. Well, I drank, you know, cooking sherry and everything. I wanted to get it all out of the house. Well, I ran out about 2 days before the next meeting. So I had to go out and buy some more beer. I was buying beer. That was the hardest thing, to make it come out right. Well, I did. I quit. My last beer was at 11 o'clock at night. It was a Coors. I was going to keep the can. I had it for years, and it got lost somewhere. I was going to frame it, you know, put it on a... But I don't. Something happened to it. But anyway, I made it come out, so that was February 2nd, 1970. That's Groundhog Day. Yeah, I didn't know that. Yeah. But I pulled my head out of my ass. I wasn't looking for a shadow, but I saw the light. You know, I sponsored one guy that went out drinking because he didn't like his sobriety date, you know. That mine probably kept me sober, because after I found out it was Groundhog Day. Let's see, where was I? Let's see, I was sober. I was in the meetings, right. Well, I did my steps with my sponsor. Oh, well, this lady that took me, we decided to sponsor each other. Well, she didn't know much more than I did, and the thing that impressed me, all I had to do was the steps to the best of my ability. I hadn't read the book. She was reading the book, so she said, "Well, we might as well sponsor each other. That sounds good to me. Why not?" And, she died with 30 years, and we were sponsoring each other. But I wouldn't recommend it, really. No, not because of that. But I look at AA as an environment that can get you sober if you have the requirement for membership, which is a desire to stop drinking. Then you pick up the tools. I picked up the tools that I needed to stay sober. And if someone would have told me, "Well, you have to do this," I would have told them to go shove it. And I've heard a lot of people are like that, and I think that's kind of one of the characteristics that us alcoholics have. We don't like to be told that we have to do something. So I didn't, looking back on it, I mean, it worked for me. I got what I needed, and I was could be happy, joyous, and free. I enjoyed my sobriety. I started a new vocation when I got sober. I went into business on my own, and that was a disaster almost, but I enjoyed it very much. I had a lot of fun. I didn't make any money, but I had a lot of fun. And I really got away from the program for my first 10 years, which I wouldn't recommend to people, but I did it. I went to very few meetings. I got involved again on a 12-step, and when I went back in, it dawned on me that there was more to Alcoholics Anonymous than just getting sober. I started my spiritual aspect. I always thought that you had to have a religion to be spiritual. And someone's mentioned, no, you don't have to, because I was not spiritual at that time. I think I am spiritual now, but I don't have a religion. I have a higher power that I choose not to call a God. To me, it's a force. And I've even come up with a formula for this. Which, since I retired the last 5 years, I've kind of looked back on my sobriety and tried to explain things to myself of why I did these things. And my higher power, I spent a lot of time thinking about it. But my higher power, when I was in my first 90 days, I remember after one of the meetings, we'd go out and have pie and coffee. And I told this one guy, I said, you know, I don't believe in God. And he just looked at me and he says, what do you believe in, a higher power? And I thought for a minute, yeah, I believe in a higher power, because in my drinking days, or even this one episode that happened to me when I was about 17, I was an athlete of some sort, and I was having a weightlifting contest. And I was 17, and the guys I was competing against were 25, 30 years old. You know, old men. And it came up to the last lift was a bent arm pullover. And they were ahead of me by about 20 pounds or so. So this guy that was in high school with me, he says, I'll put it all on, you know. So we put on about 30 pounds or something like that. And I can remember saying, okay, higher power, let's get this, you know. I laid down and I pulled that over, and it was just like there was no weight at all on it. I mean, it was just light as a feather. It was just some energy that was in me that I called on for help, and it was there. And I remembered that when he says, you believe in a higher power? I said, yes, I do. And I've read other things about that, about this energy that we have. So I look at my higher power as being an energy within me that I can call on and use. And that's really worked for me over the years. So I have a higher power. One time I was trying to think for a name for it, but now I just call it the force, or something, the energy, and energy is pretty good, but I was looking for a name for it there. Oh, this was about 10 years ago. And I came up with the name Axel, because Axel is transmits power from one point to another point. And I feel my higher power is down here and it has to get transmitted up here. So Axel would be pretty good. So I got to a meeting and mentioned that to someone. They said, I'm going to call it Axel. And they said, you mean Axel Rose? And I'd never heard of Axel Rose. But they told me who Axel Rose was. I said, no. But I just heard of something. This to me is kind of funny. I found it in Reader's Digest that man is made up of two systems, a brain and a penis. Well, to me, that was a simple explanation, you know. But only enough blood to operate one at a time. Well, my quick thinking says, well, I can solve that. I'll go get a transfusion. Now, this is why I'm slowly recovering, you know. Or waking up. That could be very dangerous, having them both work at the same time. Besides, one of mine doesn't work anyhow, so and the other one is half operable. Let's see, where was I? See, I'm slowly waking up. I mean, let me see. Well, I'm having a good time. I don't know. Are you recording this? Oh, God. Let's see. Have I gotten sober yet? Yeah. Let me see. God, now I'm discombobulated there. I didn't really participate in Alcoholics Anonymous my first 10 years to speak of. I did a 12-step in a roundabout way. That's another story, but I got back to going to meetings and saw that there was a spiritual part. And so I started going back to meetings, and I was going about two to three a week after about, I think it was 9.5 years or something like that. And got back really enjoying meetings and started getting going regularly. And then all at once, someone said, well, we ought to start a group. What do you mean a group? What's a group? Well, we got the pamphlet. About six of us sat down, went over the pamphlet group, and I got into service. This is one thing that I would recommend, is to get in service as quick as possible. Because when I got into service, my life was good, but it got so much better after I got into service in Alcoholics Anonymous. I can't explain it. I just started finding out more about myself, and I felt like I was helping other people that probably I wasn't, but I felt like I was. And we started this group, and it's still going. It's going great. I've moved out of that. I got another home group. I'm still involved with that. But to me, my participation in Alcoholics Anonymous now, the main thing to me is of service. And the reason for this is probably because I feel that I know this program worked for me, and I have 5 grandkids that I feel that some of them are going to need it. I know one is. He was supposed to be here tonight, but he isn't. and I want this program to be available to them when they're ready for it. I also believe that everyone has their last drink. It's just a shame that some of the last drinks is when right after, or just before they wrap themselves around a tree or something. Until they've had that last drink, why, these rooms should be open so that they can be available for them. And that's why, to me, being of service is so important. Geez, I'm early, huh? Let me see. Was there, well, let's just quit.